This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Pink Shirt Day was observed last month at schools in Nanaimo and across Canada. The now annual event was inspired by a Nova Scotia high school student and his friends, David Shepherd, Travis Price, and others, who in 2007 organized a high school protest in support of a grade 9 boy who was being bullied for wearing pink to school. Bullies had harassed the boy, labeling him gay for wearing pink, and threatened to beat him up. David Shepherd and Travis Price took a stand against bullying by distributing 50 pink t-shirts to all the boys in their school.
Homophobia is observable in critical and hostile behavior, such as discrimination and violence on the basis of perceived non-heterosexual orientation. Author, activist, and civil rights leader Coretta Scott King has said, "Homophobia is like racism and anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry in that it seeks to dehumanize a large group of people to deny their humanity, their dignity, and personhood."
Homophobia in schools is associated with bullying behaviors. Jordan Rada and Frank Figueroa have shared their experiences as young gay men overcoming being bullied in schools that they attended in California. They spoke with Sherry Lunn on the syndicated radio program This Way Out on February the 21st, 2011. Here's the first part of that interview.
There have been too many reports of late about young people committing suicide because of anti-gay harassment. Unfortunately, the personal stories of those tragic victims have been lost to us. But This Way Out's Sherry Lunn talked recently with two wonderful young Los Angeles gays who kindly shared their experiences of overcoming being bullied.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jordan. I am 21 years of age. I'm an author, activist, and psychology major at Woodbury University.
Hi, my name's Frank. I'm 23. I'm a musical theater major at LACC, and I'm also an activist. I'm really involved with gay rights.
Jordan and Frank are joining us in studio today to tell us a little bit about some of the experiences they had with bullying as they were growing up. Jordan, why don't you tell our listeners what happened?
First of all, I grew up in a really, really conservative Catholic family. So basically, I was raised in Catholic school. Before I went into high school, I had already come out to my parents. So I was 14 when I did that, and it coincided with the freshman years. My parents didn't take it very well when I came out. So coming into high school, I already had a lot of things that I was dealing with. You know, on top of the usual teenage angst that you have to worry about, here I was trying to find myself and trying to find my place in the world. And growing up in a Catholic high school, you didn't really have many models of what it means to be LGBT and what it means to grow up as an LGBT person. One of the distinguishing things that I remember in my high school experience was I would constantly be teased about my voice. I still don't have the deepest voice. So, you know, in the hallways, everywhere I went, people would, mostly boys, would exaggerate my voice and make it lispy. And I was very insulated in high school because of that. And I think what I did to deal with that was to avoid it. And so I would often just spend my lunches and my breaks in classrooms with maybe two or three people. And I just remember during that period of time just feeling so depressed and so lost because I didn't know who to talk to, where to go. My family didn't know how to deal with the issues that I was going through. And I went through high school feeling like there was something wrong with me. And the bullying didn't help at all. The bullying just made me feel more lonely. It made me feel more insecure about myself. I think high school kids, they just know where to get you. They know where to get at those wounds. I wouldn't only be made fun of my voice, but I'd be called, you know, you're short, you're stupid, and you're probably gay too. And I never made it public. You know, I was in the closet when I was in high school. You know, people knew, and they would always find every opportunity to pick on me for that.
Frank, tell us a little bit about what happened in your past.
Well, I grew up in Huntington Park, next to South LA, primarily Latino. And that was kind of my experience growing up, is I was an inadequate man. I didn't fit into the machista ideals. And I had a lisp. I had a speech impediment when I was a kid. I couldn't pronounce my R's and my S's, so the kids would call me a retard. I'd be made fun of, because, I mean, the machista ideal is pretty much like you need a over-hyper-masculinity, you need to be into sports, you need to not feel boys don't cry, all that good stuff. And I was the opposite. I was sensitive. I read books. I still read books. You know, I like music and art and all that stuff. And I didn't fit the mold. And my cousins would constantly beat up on me for it. And then when I started grade school, it just got worse. I was called a faggot before I even knew what it meant. I couldn't even walk through the corner sometimes because the bully from school lived like a block away from my house and he jumped me twice. Wow. On the corner. My mom had to chase him down once, which was, now that I look back on it, it's really funny. But at the time, it was terrifying. And then middle school came along, my parents divorced, and my sexuality started kicking in. I started to realize I knew I was different. I knew I was weird. I had already accepted it, but the magnitude of what being gay meant didn't actually hit me until high school. And I'd get teased, I'd get called fag. Then I hit puberty, and then it switched because they couldn't touch me physically because I was too big. I mean, I'm 6'2 now. But it was just like a mental thing. Like, they just, it was awful. I would pretty much just hang out with girls, and I'd purposely pick the girl that had the worst attitudes so that we could at least sass them back. And come senior year, I got fed up with it. I got tired of hiding myself. I got tired of not being genuine to myself, of not living. I was really depressed. It got to a point where I was contemplating suicide. I couldn't take it anymore. And I came out to everybody pretty much, except my mom. I had attempted coming out to my mom a year before that, and it was disastrous. She responded very badly. Senior year was pretty much the year where I came out, and the kids still mess with me, but by then I had tough skin, went on to college, and then fell into another depression. The funny thing is, high school's horrible enough, but when I got out of high school, I had the assumption that things would get better and that my mom would accept me. And when that didn't happen, it devastated me.
Did anybody step in? Obviously, your mom chased the bully down the street. But anybody step in when they witnessed your bullying at all?
From my experience, no. The way that my school worked was that if you were being threatened or bothered, the teachers would just turn a blind eye. They wouldn't really do anything about it. And as Frank was saying before, I mean, you had to develop tough skin. So one of the things that I learned to do was to respond back and to hold my own, because I started off being very passive, just a constant victim of that and not knowing what to do about it. But you develop an attitude, you develop tough skin that helps you get through that. It's unfortunate because the teachers would see that happening and they wouldn't do anything. And you didn't have the courage to go to someone and talk about it, because at least for me, I was in a Catholic private school. Being gay was something that was discouraged. There's a lot of judgment, unfortunately, with things like religion. And so I never had the courage to go up to a teacher or the principal and say anything about it. The only thing I could do was defend myself the way I knew, which is with my mouth.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.
A number of highly publicized deaths by suicide occurred among gay teens in the U.S. over a four-week period last fall. The tragic deaths have been linked to several problems, including the bullying of gay youth in school and university settings. The deaths by suicide came amid the release of research showing that American LGBT students were significantly more likely to experience harassment based on their sexual identity. A similar Canadian study in 2009 found that three-quarters of LGBTQ students, high school students that is, feel unsafe at school, and that many of those students reported being verbally or physically harassed about their sexual orientation. 37% of Canadian gay and lesbian youngsters felt like outsiders at their schools, and a quarter of gay and lesbian youths in Canada have attempted suicide at least once.
Jordan Rada and Frank Figueroa have shared their experiences as young gay men overcoming being bullied in schools that they attended in California. They spoke with Sherry Lunn on the syndicated radio program This Way Out on February the 21st, 2011. We close out today's program with the last part of that interview.
Thank you for listening, and please join us on People First Radio again next week.
I went to public school. With the public school, it's like, yeah, we have that whole anti-discrimination thing, but they don't enforce it. half the time I got teased, the professors weren't even paying attention, or they do it in the hallway where they know they're not going to get caught. The teachers didn't do anything. The deans didn't do anything. The one time in junior high, 8 guys jumped me.
Wow.
I ended up in the dean's office with a black eye and my arm cut, and they didn't do anything. And when my mom went and talked to the principal said I was the one with the problem because I was the one always going through my suicide phase. So the principal had the gall to tell my mother that I was the crazy one. And she had to pull me out of that school and put me somewhere else. I was like 12.
Luckily, both of you have made it through young adults now. However, recently in the news, we have heard the stories of these kids who didn't make it to the other side. What is your life like now, Jordan?
I found, thankfully, the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center and LifeWorks Mentoring, which is one of the organizations I'm currently involved in. I found them and I was able to find those models that I was looking for because the college that I went to, you know, when I went to college, I unfortunately went to a very conservative college where there was absolutely nothing, no LGBT presence on campus at all. And so I had to look for that outside. And I found LifeWorks Mentoring and I was able to get the help that I needed to feel empowered, that I was beautiful inside. If it wasn't for that program, I probably would have committed suicide or worse because I went through a huge depression. I mean, it was just a constant battle. And so now I'm a client at LifeWorks, but I also am taking leadership positions in there. So I'm the communications coordinator of the LifeWorks Youth Council. And I'm at a point in my life where I feel empowered to make a difference in others' lives because I don't want kids to go through what I went through.
Frank, you're also a member of LifeWorks.
Me and my mom finally had the giant meltdown and I left home at 20. We got into a really bad argument and I went to the Jeff Griffith Center. And if you go to the Jeff Griffith Center, it's mainly homeless youth who've been thrown out by their parents. It was the first time I ever had someone just listen to me. Like, he just sat there for like an hour and a half and he listened to me and I was like crying and bawling and I was a wreck. And he just sat there and he listened to me and things are getting okay. I mean, my mom's come around significantly after she had some time to reflect. She's not as unaccepting. We can actually have conversations. I can actually tell her what's going on in my life now, and she's good with it. That's one thing that I guess when you're a teenager, you don't realize it. It's like you have the process. Your parents need to have that process, too. We've both grown as people, and we're going back to that genuine, organic relationship, and that's great. It's gotten better. And I'm kind of the same thing as Jordan. If I hadn't found LifeWorks, I would have done something desperate. Because, I mean, I was desperate. I was broken. I wasn't whole. Like I said, I thought after high school, after the nightmare that was my youth, oh, I'll go out into the real world and I'll be accepted. And that was far from the case. But I've met a lot of genuine good people in my life since, and people that really care. And at least with me, when I started seeing all of those suicides, it really hit me. Because that was me. That was my youth. That could have been me. I mean, it's been going on for years, and it's finally coming out, to the surface, and people are finally waking up and seeing the damage that all these cultural expectations cause. And some good will come out of it, even though it's tragic.
Incredibly tragic. And you both have made it through these circumstances and are now looking back at it from the other side and just sharing your stories today with us as these kids who are listening across the country and around the world. They know now because of your story that no matter how deep they are and how dark their worlds are, that there is another side and it does get better. Jordan and Frank, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today.
Thank you for having us.
There's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no. There's something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong.
If you're concerned about or are the victim of bullying, there is help. Here are a few anti-bullying resources. Are you a student, parent, or school administrator wanting to implement anti-bullying programs? Log on to the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network at glsen.org, glsen.org. If you dream of replacing hate with understanding, compassion, and acceptance, join the Matthew Shepherd Foundation and help make that dream a reality. MatthewShepherd.org. Tips for parents and resources for teachers are available at the Anti-Defamation League's website at adl.org/combatbullying. Hundreds of videos offering inspiration to LGBT people are available at itgetsbetterproject.com. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has tips on how to identify and prevent bullying at stopbullyingnow.hrsa.gov. Looking for support, respect, and an opportunity to be exactly who you are meant to be? Check out likeme.org. To find an LGBT community center near you, check the more than 100 worldwide listings available at lgbtcenters.org. If you're contemplating suicide, there is help. Call the Trevor Project at 866-4-U-TREVOR. That's the number 4, the letter U, Trevor. Or log on to thetrevorproject.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.